view a little bit. I want to take this a little bit farther. This is one of those deals where you think that you're doing a one-time message. Of course, it's been a long time since I've done a single one-time message, especially here. But this is one of those deals where you think that you're doing a single one-time message and that next week you'll be on to another subject. Not so. Not so. You think that. You think that when you're getting ready for it. You think that whenever it's going on, but then you realize afterwards that he's speaking to you about taking it farther and adding more to it. And taking it a little bit farther for everybody. So that was just the beginning on Sunday that we started, and we talked about there's the will of God and there's the will of God. And you know, we know there's the written will of God right here in the Word, and we know that any other part of the will of God in our lives individually or for this church must line up with the Word of God. But I like to say that there's the will of God and then there's the will of God. And the will of God being that for instance, in I believe it is Isaiah here. I didn't even turn there. Let me find it, see where I wanted to go. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Now the will of God is this, is that by his stripes you're healed. By his stripes I'm healed. Now I may not have the manifestation. I may not have the manifestation of that will of God, but it is the will of God that I'm healed. That's the written will of God. You can't talk me out of it. You can't change it. Doesn't matter if I still don't have that healing manifested in my body. It's the will of God that Charlie Rogers, by the stripes that Jesus took up on his back, Charlie Rogers was healed. Marge was healed. That's the will of God. So that's the will of God. There's the will of God and there's the will of God. And then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now here is the will of God. It's the will of God that he took on the sin for you and I and made us that had sin the righteousness in Christ. That is the will of God. He wants that for us. He desires that for us. He went to the cross that will be accomplished in our lives. That's the will of God. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 8, verse 9, and we're just backtracking here a little bit, just reviewing. It says in verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich in heaven, had everything at his disposal, yet for your sakes, yet for my sake, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that me and you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now that's the will of God, is that we have every need met, have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God, that we have the riches of heaven manifested in our own lives. That's the will of God. There's the will of God, and then there's the will of God. And that's one part of the will of God, that we have the riches of heaven, that he took on our poverty, and that through that, then we receive back the riches of heaven. That's well. You don't have to look any farther. You don't have to look and say, well, does Jesus want me to be rich or not? Does Jesus want me to have every need met? Does Jesus want me to live in abundance? You don't have to look no farther. The Word of God says, my God shall supply all your needs. Lack nothing. All right, it's the will of God that every need you have be supplied, that you lack nothing, that nothing be in lack. That's the will of God. All right, then we talked about, like, for instance, I told that story about that person that wanted to go off to California. And she asked me, she said, what do you think about that? Should I go to California now? Should I go and be with my relatives? And she'd been walking with God for about a year and a half, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, somewhere around there, a year and a half. And I said, okay, now you've got one person out there in your family that is going to church part-time, and has been for just a little while. You got the rest of them on dope. And so God wants you to go out there and be thrown among the wolves and survive. Does that sound like God? No, it doesn't. So there's the will of God and then there's the will of God. And that's obvious that you don't have to pray about that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you destroyed when you're a year and a half old in your walk with God. He doesn't want you destroyed. And then, you know, then we talked about that example of that lady, you know, see this man that she really finds attractive and he's married. Now, you don't have to pray about that. He's not available for you to marry. He's already married. So you don't have to pray about that. The will of God is that you keep your hands off. You know, that's the will of God. So you don't have, there's some things that are in the will of God, that are in the Word of God here, you don't have to pray about them. Now you might have to turn a few pages and turn off Starsky and Scrutch and take a look at the Bible and see what it says, but you don't have to pray about some of these things. It'll tell you in the Word of God whether it's the will of God or not. Was you able to interpret that, Esther? That's a tough translation, wasn't it, Starsky and Scrutch? Well, at least I'm giving you a workout, you know. So there's some things like that you don't have to pray about. But now we talked about then that you needed to know the will of God for your life, personally, in particular. And we talked about that I needed to know the path and the direction for this body, for this church to follow. That I had to find out from the head shepherd, the good shepherd. I had to find out from him what the will is that he had in heaven for this church to follow. And I wouldn't find in here, faith fellowship shall go the way of prayer and believe in revival for Western Kansas. You won't find that in here. Now, you'll find in here that God gave his only begotten son that not one person be lost. You'll find that right there is the will of God that not one person in Western Kansas be lost. You'll find that. But now you won't find the exact word-for-word path that Faith Fellowship Church is supposed to take. No, that's for me to get with the Good Shepherd and find out just what direction do you want to flow. You won't find out in here, it won't say in here, that Bruce is called to be worship leader for Faith Fellowship Church. You won't find that in the Word here written. He has to get with God and find out if he's supposed to be worship leader for Faith Fellowship Church. And I believe that he is. He had to find that out for himself, but I believe that he is. And now I guess he believes that, or so far he seems like he believes that. So there is that will. There's the will of God, and then there's the will of God. That you have to find out for your life in particular, your life personally, and for your family's life, exactly what it is that God wants. You had to find out, God, where do you want me at? What body do you want me to be a part of? What body is it that can teach me and train me up in the way I should go? So you had to present yourself just as a child. You know, it says in Proverbs, train a child up in the way he should go, he'll never depart. Well, you had to offer yourself as a child here and say, okay, God, where is it that I'll go to that will train me up in the way that I should go? All right, and he says, Faith Fellowship Church. All right, now those are particular instructions, special instructions for you as a believer, as an individual, and for your family. You had to find that out. Now, once you got there, you had to find out, or should be finding out, God, what is it that you want me to do here? Is it a time that I need to sit down and glue my britches to the chair and sit and learn and pray? All right, and then, you know, what is it? What is the next step? After you complete that step, which takes a while, then what is the next step? What should I be doing here? What is it that you call me to do? I know that it says in the Word that there's the fivefold. There's the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. See, there's all those, the fivefold. Helps and governments, administrations, there's all those. See. But now those are just in general, those are the fivefold. But now where do you fit in? What is your calling? Are you called to the giving with liberality? See, that's an office also. That's a place in the body of Christ where you take your life and your job or your business, whatever it is, you take your life and you supply money for the gospel. You lay up fruit to your account in heaven because of the dollars that you brought in and used them for God's kingdom. That's a calling. Does that fit you? Is that where you're called to? See, you and the Good Shepherd have to find that out. See, there's the will of God and then there's the will of God. Well, It doesn't do any good to know the will of God either way. Through the Word of God, knowing the Word of God in general, and the will of God in the Word of God, or to know your specifically will of God for your family, for yourself and your family, your life, it doesn't do any good unless you're going to be obedient to it. See, we got to decide at some point we have to be obedient. We can't just know something. In fact, the Word of God says this. It says that to know to do good and not to do so is sin. To know that you should be doing something, obedient to something, to know that... Let me put it another way and bring it in line here. To know the will of God and not to do it is sin. To know the will of God and to know the will of God and not to do either one of those wills of God is sin. Meaning this, to know what's in this book and not do it is sin. To know what God has instructed you specifically to do it, to do for, with your life and steps to take and not do it is sin. So we can know all the will of God that we want to, either through the Word of God or through prayer and fasting and worship and meditating the Word and finding out His specific will for us. We can know all of that. We can know all of that, and it doesn't do any good if we're not going to be obedient to it. Now, obedience comes in line. I like to put it in line. You can't say that you're a mature person in Christ, that you're spiritually mature, that you're a mature Christian, unless you're obedient to the wills of God. You can't say that. See, obedience takes maturity. It's tough to be obedient. It's tough to be mature. Now, it's good, and it's worthwhile, and it gets results, and you'll be glad in heaven. You'll be glad in heaven that you did. But it's tough. There's nothing easy about it. I never said it was an easy road being a pastor. I never said it was an easy road sitting in this congregation with every devil around wanting to knock you out of here. I never said it was going to be easy. I never said prayer life was easy. I never said long hours of prayer were easy. I never said fasting, going without food certain lengths of time was easy. Nothing easy about it. I don't even like it. I'm just being upfront and honest. You know, I don't like it. And you know what? I found something else out along the way. Extended worship is even harder. Extended worship is even harder physically than long hours of prayer. I can lay down in the floor, close my eyes and just pray in unknown tongues, softly and quietly, and just rest there and even pray myself to sleep. But now you get to going in on worship. And you start hitting some dry places and some stone walls, and you can't hardly get "I love you, Jesus" out. "I worship you and I praise you and I thank you, Jesus." You cannot get those words out. You start doing that, that becomes even more physically draining than even prayer. Now, that's just a nugget I thought I'd throw in there. But regardless of what you're talking about, I never said any of it's going to be easy. And being a mature person, is not easy. And so that's why a lot of people just throw up their hands. "Well, I don't have to be mature if I don't want to." No, you don't. We call you rebellious. God described that as rebellion in the Word of God. And He said rebellion is just as witchcraft. And so you won't have blessings, you'll have curses, but you won't have blessings because rebellion is as witchcraft, see. And so anyhow, he started visiting with me about this. And this is how things happen. You know, like I said, Sunday, I thought I had a good little sermon. You know, they need to hear this on Sunday morning. And Wednesday or Sunday of next week, then we'll come up with another stem winder and, you know, and maybe we'll get over into some more worship because I'd like to get back to some more worship. Maybe we'll get over into confession. Some people don't like confession, so maybe we'll upset their apple cart with some confession. You know, I don't know. You know, something like that. But no, it doesn't work that way, see. See, I go in and I do the message on Sunday, then I get back to the house then on Sunday afternoon and I lay down and he starts telling me to get a pencil to write or a recorder and to record. So I start looking for an ink pen and can't find one. But I did, and a piece of paper, and I just began to write. And this is some of the stuff then he began to direct me to, and has since ever since Sunday. It's just been flowing that way. Even in the middle of the night, I'll have to get up and start writing down notes. Now, we're not going to get all of it. Don't worry. You know, you're already halfway through the sermon. See, you know, half of you weren't here Sunday. So I just preach Sunday's message for the most part, an overview of it Sunday. Then the rest of you probably didn't hear it Sunday. But if you did, it don't hurt you to hear it again. So, see, you know, nobody's missing out on anything. And so you're already halfway through the summer, so don't think I'm going to take everything that he gave me since Sunday afternoon and give it to you tonight. I'm just not going to do that. But anyhow, you have to be mature to be obedient. You have to they complement each other. You can't say you're mature unless you're obedient. It takes maturity to be obedient. See, and so the question is this. The question is this. And I thought, man, what a dumb question. What an elementary question. But I shouldn't say dumb, but it hit me as dumb whenever he laid it out. Do I want them to be mature or not? Yes or no? Do I want them to be mature or not? Well, you've got to find that. That's part of the will of God. Does he want us to be mature or not? Well, the first thing you're going to say is, yes. Would you believe that there's some in here that believe that they can get by without being mature? Maybe not even here tonight. Maybe there's not some here tonight. Let me rephrase that. Would you believe that there's some in this congregation? Would you believe that there's some in this church membership that aren't convinced that they have to be mature? That they can get by with immaturity in the body of Christ? Well, I'm going to answer it for you. Yes, there is some. So therefore, that qualifies the question. Does God want us to be mature or not? Yes or no? Well, let's find out in the Word of God. And we'll start with, let's start with Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with a little bit of God and get by without the rest of it. Now, does that look like to you there a maturity statement? Does that look like to you there that just maybe he's requiring, and it is possible and attainable, that we be mature? Some people have been immature so long they don't even think that you can be mature. They don't think that you can have the mature things spiritually in the Word of God, because they've been that way so long. The devil's convinced them there's no way, no chance. But I want to ask you, would you say from that you may be filled with all the fullness of God? Now, to me, that sounds like that he's saying that he's requiring us to be mature, be filled with all the fullness of God. You say, well, that's all the goodness of God and, you know, all the good things of God. Why, sure it is. Prosperity, healing, peace, salvation, divine health. There's a difference between divine health and healing. Divine health is something that you walk in on a continual basis. You won't do that as a young, just born again Christian. The devil will make sure that you don't do that. See? But see, that'd be part of the fullness of God, divine health. Walking in prosperity, having every need that you have, having more than a $5 month. What did we say a $5 month was? Paying all your bills, having everything paid and done for, having $5 left over at the end of the month. See? Is a $5 month, is that the fullness of God? I think not. not when people are starving and people still haven't been saved. Some of them haven't had the gospel yet. There's still people who haven't had the gospel yet. A few, very few, but there's still a few. See, the fullness of God. I'd say that requires looking at as maturity. Turn to Romans. You don't have to turn there. Let me read this one. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. We went over that the other night. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that you may prove, that you may prove, that you may prove, not just say it, that we see evidence of it, that there be evidence of it. What is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Now, don't you think that's a maturity statement there? Don't you think that it takes a level of maturity and somewhat growth to say that you're walking in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Folks, it takes a lot of maturity that has gone on, a lot of growth in your spiritual walk to say that you're walking in the perfect will of God. I doubt that there's anybody in here that's walking in every area, walking in the perfect will of God in their life. I'm certainly not. If I did, I wouldn't be standing for a healing in my body. I'd already have the manifestation of it. See? So, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Another evidence there of Him requiring maturity. That we are, the maturity in the body of Christ is required of us as an individual. 2 Timothy, you don't have to turn to this one because we've been over it several times. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. The Word of God is given that the man of God may be complete. May be complete. The man, boy, isn't that a mature statement? Complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that a maturity statement? Don't you think that would require maturity to be thoroughly equipped, to be complete? And then turn to this one, James chapter 5. In fact, I've got these written down, but I'm going to go ahead and turn there myself. James chapter 5. Very important one here. I just caught some stuff in this one that I wanted to get across. James chapter 5. I've even got the tabs and I still can't find it. James chapter 5, starting with verse 5. Now listen to this real close here. This is real important. This may not fit you. Then again, it might. If you let it start sinking in, you might get real convicted. James 5, verse 5. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. Now listen. He wants you to live here on this earth with plenty. He wants you to have more than enough, folks. He doesn't want you to lack in any area. Don't get me wrong. When I read this and take this out of this chapter, listen to the whole thing. Listen to the point that he's getting to. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. In other words, now, when they fatten beef for slaughter, they really give it all it wants. There's no lack of food. It can eat any time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, they may control the diet, but they give it all it wants. It eats all it wants. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Verse 6. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Now that right there is a sermon in itself that we can't get into tonight. Boy, if you only knew what that meant. Maybe some of you do. Verse 8. You also be patient. I remember he said, you fattened your heart for slaughter. He said, you also be patient. He's saying, the rest of you be patient. Now you, some of you have fattened your hearts as if for slaughter. He said, the rest of you, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. In other words, don't give your heart all it wants. Don't give it just frivolous all this and all that and forget what God is about. Don't forget that God wants you to be mature. Establish your heart. Don't fatten it as if for slaughter. Don't just give it over to the things of this world, but remember what you're here on earth for. That you're to be born again, and it doesn't just stop there, but that you're to train and establish your heart in the ways of the Lord and the things of God. Establish your heart. Don't fatten it with the things of the world. Yes, He wants you to have all that you need and more even to give to the kingdom of God. But He says, establish your heart. Establish your heart where? In the Word of God, the things of God. Establish your heart in the mature things of God. Another state of maturity. Establish your heart. Don't just let your life go as if, you know, it don't matter whether I... You know, whether I serve God or not, I'm born again, I'm going to heaven. It don't matter whether I grow up or not. It don't matter if I have the pastor to hold my hand the rest of my life. That don't matter. Yes, it does. He says to establish your heart. He says to establish your heart, meaning this, that you have a God that you can depend on and to surrender to Him, put yourself in His arms, put trust in Him. Let Him establish your heart, that you be established in the things of God. Don't be established in the things of the world. You're called to live in this world for a time being, but you're not called to be as this world. Establish your heart in the things of God. Establish your heart in the Word of God. Take the principles of God. Establish them in your life. Follow them. Live by them. I'm listening, Jesus. I'm listening. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been over this, but go there again. I don't get lost here myself. Hallelujah, Jesus. My goodness. A wave hit me there. I was trying to listen to what He is wanting. Hallelujah. This is really we're talking about the will of God here. We're talking about the established will of God in the Word of God. It's been established in the Word of God. This is His will for us to be mature, for us to grow and become mature. This is the will of God, that we be mature, that we grow up. Yes, you're a child. Paul said, I can't remember where it was at, Paul said, I was once a child, but now comes the time that I put away childish things. He meant that spiritually. He meant, comparing it to the natural, that we're a child and then one day we grow up, we put away childish things, and we have to go to work. We have to get a job. No longer can. Now, some think that they can just go ahead and be a child the rest of their life. Boy, they don't want to get around me. I'm not very nice to those type of people. Comes a time you have to grow up. Well, Paul said, you know, you have to grow up spiritually. That's what he was talking about. And so he said in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I, brethren, verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people. In other words, I couldn't speak to you as mature spiritual people. But what makes you think, Pastor, he says that? Because of what he says afterwards. But as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I couldn't speak to you as mature people. I couldn't speak to you as grown-up spiritual people. I couldn't speak to you as adult spiritual people. I couldn't speak to you that way. I had to speak to you as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And he's using that, the milk of the Word, he's using that once again to show that comparison as a baby and then as a grown-up person taking harder food, you know. I had to feed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. You weren't able to receive it because you weren't grown up. You were still a baby. You weren't mature. So here's another statement showing that it is a requirement in the Word of God for us to become mature, for us to grow up. to not just have our hand held all of our life. But for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For where there's envy, strife, divisions among you, you're not carnal, but behaving like mere men. And so he says here, you're in strife, you're in carnality, you're in envy, strife, division. Therefore, that marks you and shows your age. Spiritually, it shows your age. You're a baby. You're a baby. You're not a grown-up. If you're a grown-up in Christ, there wouldn't be no envy. There wouldn't be no division. There wouldn't be no strife. You wouldn't lift a hand or a mouth toward anyone else. You would be a mature person in Christ. So there is a requirement in the Word of God. It is the will of God that we grow up, that we can't just stay the same. I got born again, filled with the Spirit, had a few good experiences, leave me alone, I want to sit right here. Yes, I believe that the pastor has to hold my hand the rest of my life until Jesus comes. I believe that that's what he gets that big salary for, is to hold my hand until Jesus comes. In this church? Yeah. They're probably not even here tonight. I just preach what he tells me, so if it falls on your toes, don't worry, I'm going to have a healing line afterwards. Yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, in verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He forgets what he looked at. He looked in the mirror, he seen the Word of God, he heard the Word of God, he took in the Word of God and understand the Word of God. Since he understood the Word of God, he was expected to go out and do the Word of God, and he didn't. Therefore, he was like a man that looked in the mirror, seen his face, seen what it looked like, seen that he needed shaving. Let's just use that. Seen that he needed shaving and that he should be shaving, walked away from it and didn't shave and just walked on. Now, if you've got a beard, don't worry about it. Nah, don't worry about it. this is just an example. He looked in the mirror and seen that he needed to shave today, but he walked away and didn't shave. That's not a good example. It's good enough for right now. I can't think of anything else. But anyhow, he looked in the mirror. He knew what he was supposed to do. He looked in the mirror. He seen it. He seen what he was supposed to do, and he walked away and didn't do it. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. And a lot of times we'll do that. We'll know what the will of the Lord is. We'll know through our maturity that we've entered into, our growth we've entered into, we'll know, hey, I'm not supposed to get into strife. I'm not supposed to get into division. I knew that, and I didn't. Now I wonder why this sickness came up on me. But yet then I remember back down the road there, I got in this strife, I got in this division. You know, the whole family's mad. And I'm called to be a peacemaker? That's what the Word of God calls a mature Christian, is a peacemaker. And so I knew that I was supposed to be a peacemaker, but yet that happened and I walked on down the road. I didn't even apply and throw myself on the throne of God and petition for the grace and mercy of God. I didn't even do that. I walked on down the road and just ignored the Word of God. Walked on down the road and just ignored it. Let's see what happens. This is interesting. And immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Well, I would say this. If he's one that looks in that mirror and he sees the Word of God and he sees the will of God, he sees for the need for that maturity to go into action, and he doesn't let that maturity go into action, he doesn't follow the Word of God, he doesn't do the Word of God, then I would say then he doesn't have blessings to follow. Because it says here that if he did, he has blessings to follow. But if he didn't, one would have to assume that he doesn't have blessings to follow. Blessings are for those who continue to seek the path of maturity. He spoke that one thing, one last thing, before I left the house earlier this evening. He said, blessings are for those that seek the path of maturity. That's what he spoke. See? He's saying, here you are, you're hearing the Word, you understand the Word. It's not that you don't understand the Word. You say, well, what if I don't understand the word? No excuse, because you've got the Holy Spirit as a teacher that will bring the understanding of the Word of God. So that's no excuse either, see. See, you're living as a believer, Spirit-filled believer. You have a little different accountability than those that don't. Now, those that don't, they have an accountability that it was available to them and they denied it and pushed it away. Therefore, the reward in heaven will be less than those that had that chance and took that. I'm talking about being Spirit-filled and having the Holy Spirit there, the teacher. I wouldn't leave this place tonight without the Holy Spirit and saturating my life. I wouldn't leave this place tonight without being baptized in the Holy Spirit if I wasn't. First of all, I wouldn't leave this place tonight if I wasn't saved. If I didn't know for sure I was saved, I wouldn't leave this place. I wouldn't walk out that door without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The next thing is, I wouldn't leave here without the Holy Spirit, without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. There's rewards in heaven. It's not just get there and that's it. Some people think, well, I'm going to get there, that's fire insurance. One of these days, I'm going to teach on some things in the Word of God that shows that you don't want to get to heaven with just salvation. I mean, you're going to be glad that you got there, don't get me wrong, but there's more to it than that. And you're going to be highly disappointed when you get to heaven. But you can't do it without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You just cannot do it without that. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches and brings revelation to your life that you can take the Word of God and principles in the Word of God and lay fruit up to your account in heaven, that when you get there, you'll have a reward laid up for you in heaven. Folks, I'm just kind of selfish. I mean, I'll let you in on it too. But I'm laying up to my account in heaven all the fruit I can lay up. And folks, I know. I know that I'm going to have some things when I get there that I wished I'd not seen. They're going to burn up. I know that. But I'm doing everything I can in the future to make sure that when that test of fire comes in heaven upon my account, that it stays there and runs the test of fire and comes through it without being burned up. See, that's how you have fruit laid up in heaven. The test of fire comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4. Anyhow, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that brings teaching. So He's seen this. He's seen this Word. He's seen this place of maturity. He's seen it. He understood it, but yet He walked away. Therefore, He stopped the blessings of God in His life. Folks, what I've seen of this is when people say, well, I'm just not going to grow any farther. I just don't want to grow any farther. I don't have to. You can't make me. I'm stopping right here. I like what I got. I like the deal I got with God. And I'm stopping right here and I'm staying right here. What I see is that they run out of blessings sooner or later and begin to run into the curses because they themselves brought those curses up on them because they did not bring the blessings up on them. The reverse of blessings is curses. And what I say, you say, what curses? What do you mean? Oh, business troubles, job troubles, business going down in hill, in debt, eventually up to the ears, can't get out. Folks, it's good to know the will of God, but even better to follow the will of God and be obedient to the will of God. It's not just good enough to know the will of God. It's not just good enough to ask to be a mature Christian, but you've got to then act it out. You've got to follow it. You've got to walk it out. So I've seen them. Health problems, business, work problems, just marriage problems, anything. Lots of things. Several things at once. Because they knew what to do. They knew. They understood. But yet they refused. I'm not going any farther with God. I'm going to stay right here. The pastor's just going to have to hold my hand. He's just going to have to accept. That's what he gets paid for, is to hold my hand. Let me tell you something, folks. God told me before I got here, He said, there'll be some that you'll not get to hold their hand because I will not let you. And if you do, you'll be disobedient to me. What do you think about that? Does that sound like that everybody's going to get their hand held? Does it sound like even in the Word of God that He wants your hand held the rest of your life? I think not. He wants us to become mature Christians. And Sunday, we're going to take it a little bit farther. You say, well, I don't know how to get out of what I'm in. Well, you'll get out of it Sunday. You'll say, well, I'd like to be able to walk this out. I'd like to be able to become a mature Christian. He's got answers. He never leaves without answers. And there's lots of answers in the Word of God. Lots of different principles in the Word of God. And we're required to take every one of them to reach that maturity that He's called us to reach. Glory to God. Stand up with me, please. So I think you know by now in the Word of God that there's a requirement in the Word of God, and He expects us. He expects us and delivered everything to us to become mature in the Word of God. Well, I wish I'd have got to go just a little bit farther, but He stopped me there. I had some more here that I was just going to lay on you tonight. But we'll pick up in 2 Peter Sunday. Well, I get excited over some of this. Maybe more excited than anybody else, but that's okay. Just let me be excited, okay? But it's a requirement in the Word of God for us to continue our growth and to grow not just as babes in Christ, but to grow to spiritually mature people in the body of Christ. And it not only says it in the Word of God, like, well, there's a lot of other scriptures we didn't even go over tonight. There's more of them. But then also then He shows us how to become spiritually mature. And that's what we all want to know is that. Is how to get there. Don't just tell me that I have to get there, but tell me how to get there. Tell me how to get mature. Tell me how to grow up. I don't want to just know that I have to grow up, but tell me how to grow up. That's what I want to know, is how do I grow up? Lift your hands to heaven, just begin to worship Him. I just know that this message was for tonight. I hope you got something out of it. I hope it brought you a little bit farther. Basically, I hope it got in on your life and caused you to think twice about being so complacent. Folks, the body of Christ is saturated with complacency. And complacency will cause you to sit there in the chair and be a baby in Christ until Jesus comes. Complacency will send you to heaven without a reward. Nothing laid up to your account. Shake off the complacency. Brush it aside. Push through it. Whatever you have to do. I don't...